And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, remembering Raul Malo of the Mavericks, who passed away December 8th. This interview was originally broadcast a year ago to the day when their album Moon and Stars was still relatively new. He was on the program in mid-2024 when they had several stops in the region. Now we'll hear about and from their newest album, Moon and Stars. Live Close By from the Mavericks 2024 release Moon and Stars. I have with me now original member Raul Malo. And Raul, man, you're really channeling your inner Tom Jones here. Oh my God. This kicking off at the Hammond B3, maybe. This really cool, yeah, driving soul, maybe. And this is mostly led by you, though at times it's a duet. Who are we hearing?
The vocalist is a friend of ours, Nicole Atkins. She's a great artist. She lives here in Nashville. She's got her own records, and she's one of the many great artists that we have here in town that aren't necessarily country artists. They're more independent rock artists or country artists. She's an independent rock and roll artist, and she's sort of a Renaissance woman anyways, and she has her own legion of followers, and she's got her own career, and I thought she'd be great to sing on this. She's sassy, and I knew that she would put the right sort of little flavor on it, and sure enough, she did.
Oh, totally cool. Whenever we're talking about this, I'm picturing various people, and, you know, some I would sort out into a Grand Ole Opry type of thing, and some I would sort out by saying, nope, you can catch them at the Exit Inn, or something like that.
That's where you'd catch her.
Yeah, okay.
Catch her at the Exit Inn.
Okay, yeah. Right after Government Cheese and before, okay, cool. My real question about Live Close By, unless I miss something, this is a relationship song. This is a relationship that's great as long as we're not being around each other 24/7.
That's right. You know, it's funny because I read a criticism somewhere that this is a cheating song, or it wasn't so much of a criticism, but I'm like, it's not a cheating song at all. It's actually setting boundaries and honest boundaries as to how this relationship is going to work. And it's funny because I wrote this with my friend KT Oslin a while back. She has since passed. And it was her idea. It was her lyric, the live close by, visit often. That was her sentiment. And she lived by those terms. I think she was married once. It didn't work for her. And she was a bachelorette her whole life up until the end. She loved men and she dated men, but she didn't need men. She didn't need anything. You know what I mean?
No way.
She was that kind of gal. I loved her, and I loved her spirit and her independence, and she was making an album and I was helping her. I was producing it. And so we wrote that song for her record, you know, when she released it, again, years ago. But nobody really heard that record. It was towards the end of her career. And so I thought, first of all, I love this song. I always did. And I wrote this. I remember writing the music and I remember feeling like, you know, the Mavericks could play this kind of song, you know? And so we recorded it as such. way back when for her record. And then when we had an opportunity now to record it on our record, and we were just trying it out. We were, you know, let's see how this comes out. We don't know how it's going to come out. And when we were done with it and it was jumping off the speakers and everybody was digging it, we knew we had a good recording on our hands and we had a good song. I love that we recorded this song and we're doing our own little tribute to KT Osland, who's one of the all-time great artists here coming out of Nashville.
That's a fantastic additional layer for me to know just in my arsenal of knowledge that may or may not ever get me more than a drink. But it's just, that's really, I think that may come out sounding snarky, but I really mean that. I appreciate knowing the behind the scenes kind of things.
I'm like you. I appreciate that too, you know? Yeah. And that's why I told you that. I figured it'd be a good thing for you to know. And I want people to acknowledge her and recognize her efforts because she was a complete badass. And talk about somebody who made her mark and did it her way, which is why we hit it off like we did when we were working together. And so I loved her and admired her for a long time. And I'm glad that she's getting a little bit of her due right now, you know, especially with the success of this song.
I think that one of the first things that I do whenever we hang up here, I'm going to be looking up her version, the take that she released of Live Close By. I mean, I just love it as a sentiment. I also love it as a good catchphrase, live close by, visit often. You know, it's just, I just really appreciated that one.
It's a great phrase. Yeah.
Truly. The title cut, Moon and Stars, just by title alone, I really expected this to be a love song, you know, loving someone to the stars above and all that kind of Hallmark kind of thing. But this is again, unless I've missed something here, this is really just, hey, try to appreciate the beauty around you. You're really just marveling at the world.
I remember when we were writing this song, and I remember we wrote it on ukuleles, and it almost... like, I wanted almost a nursery rhyme sort of approach to it. Like, it's not a love song, but it is about love. Love is a component in it. But it's also, like you said, take it in, appreciate it. Sailors have set their sails to the moon and stars, you know? This has been going on for millennia. It's really about just stepping back, and you're right, and taking it in and appreciating it. And so many times, you know, we live in such a fast-paced world. And I don't want to sound like a begrudgingly old guy because I'm as guilty as anybody, you know, on the socials and on my phone and all that stuff, right?
Sure.
But I'm old enough to remember what it's like to sit outside and be bored. And it's amazing what happens when you sit outside and you're bored and you think about stuff and really observe stuff. You can learn something. You know, even if it's about yourself, you know, and so many times we, I don't know what it is. It's like if it's just in us or it's been ingrained in us that every living waking moment of every day, we have to be doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay to do nothing. That's something. doing nothing is something.
Yes.
And you never know what you might be learning from it, you know? And I think that this song touches on it, and it's kind of cloaked in sort of a nursery rhyme sing-along, and that's how we wanted it, you know? And it's just a sweet little song that anybody can play on any instrument, you know, because it's just a little nursery rhyme.
So when we get done with this conversation, I'll be checking out a song, and when I get home, I'll be pulling out the guitar and just seeing if it can indeed. Okay. Without a doubt. And so many songs on this, by the way, I feel like could have been the title track. How did you end up on Moon and Stars for this? I mean, it could have been, you know, Throw a Dart, or no, this is just the simplistic nursery rhyme. This ends up as the title cut.
For some reason, I got into, during the space race, there was this movement in the art world to kind of create these sci-fi images. And, you know, and I remember as a kid, I grew up in Miami, so we would go to Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy. And I remember the rocket launches and the Apollo missions. And I remember what that meant to me just as a kid. It meant that anything was possible. You know, that men went to the moon. That was amazing. That was an amazing story. And we still do stuff like that, but it just doesn't get the coverage that it used to. Yeah. I mean, right now, there are astronauts whizzing across the sky at 36,000 miles a second or something like that in a space station that's been made by the best, you know, cooperatively.
Yeah.
And to me, space offers, I swear, I'm not a big Elon Musk fan, so I don't. I'm not talking about space travel for everybody.
Right.
I'm really referring to an era of cooperation and seemingly endless, endless amounts of hope and optimism for mankind. And it seems like the world is just in dire need.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit, even if it's fake. Even if it's just a whimsical little album. Still, I don't know. To me, the Moon and Stars is inclusive. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited to this. We can all bask in the hope that our world is going to be a better place. Because I felt that as a kid, you know, when the space race was the top thing on the news.
Like, yeah.
Wow, this was incredible. And I feel bad because, you know, like my kids will never know what that optimism is like. You
right.
know? They've grown up in a really cynical world.
Yeah.
And we try to impart, you know, try to keep it in perspective, but it is a very cynical world. And so it was just a nice, almost like a, I don't know, a good countermeasure to that cynicism to try and do something.
Nice.
You know, try and do something positive, try to illuminate, you know.
Oh, that is fantastic. And that also harkens... something you said really strikes me, too, in that this is making us, or hopefully will make us, hearken back to a time of, yes, this time of hope. That's really beautiful. I didn't expect that. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Raul Malo of the Mavericks. Malo passed away December 8th, and we're hearing an interview originally broadcast on December 8th of 2024. Now, if you've ever listened to the Mavericks on CD or see them in concert, it's such a wide variety of music. Though they're generally labeled as a country band, with them you get multiple genres. And sometimes it's everything you might find in country music, like this one.
I got a guitar and a bottle of wine, a song to sing to ease my mind. Everything's gonna be alright. I've got a guitar.
A guitar and a bottle of wine. For me, that's another great potential title track, but that may be something
yeah.
closer from Joe Walsh.
No, that one was a contender for
sure. All right.
Yeah.
I feel like this one could have either the most detailed inception story or perhaps the most absolute basic. A guitar and a bottle of wine. Simply put, this is a good day. I don't need much. I have a guitar and a bottle of wine. Is this you or someone you know? You know, this person who just knows everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right. I've got a guitar and a bottle of wine.
It's not specific to a musician. It just everybody has their version of a guitar and a bottle of wine, you know? It just happens to be those are the musicians' instruments, or at least a lot of them that I know. And a lot of times, that little escape is all you need. And I think this song touches upon that, but it also touches upon, there's a recurring theme throughout all this. And I think that just comes with getting older and trying to impart some wisdom on the youngins, you know. Take the time to enjoy the moment. That's the theme, you know. And if it's a guitar and a bottle of wine, do it. That's your moment. And you don't have to partake. You don't have to be a guitar player. You don't even have to drink wine. But if you happen to be an observer, or you happen to be a fan and you see a musician doing that and you want to hear some music, like, you know, this song certainly talks about, like, hey, this is my therapy, that no matter what happens in my life, I still have a guitar and a bottle of wine. And I think that's a beautiful thing to have. It could also, I mean, it could also be a lonely and pathetic thing to have. But yeah. The song, yeah, the only thing, the song doesn't touch upon that. It doesn't get that specific. And it's a fun little reminder of what we are and what we do.
As a title, too, I suppose that's more socially acceptable than a joint in the alleyway. Okay.
Well, well, that usually accompanies a bottle of wine.
Yeah,
sure.
Big time, yeah.
Everything's gonna be all right. I got a guitar and a bottle of wine. Bottle of wine. Oh, 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 oh. Bottle of wine.
Okay, now this is something I think we kind of alluded to, but now we can talk about it. Overnight success. I have a tendency to really read in, so I not only saw overnight success as in sudden, but the fact that you're really having to drive overnight to get from one gig to the next. So, yeah, so this is talking about, yeah, driving to the next gig, considering what gigs might not be the best, but hey, it's good for exposure, that kind of thing. I guess I really have to ask, were you actually sitting in Baton Rouge drinking cold coffee when you started this song?
You know, I don't remember.
Okay.
I've been in Baton Rouge and I have been drinking coffee. And, you know, a lot of times you pick words and, you know, you pick a scene because of the sound of the word. And, you know, you're telling a story. And it's all based on true stuff. I mean, that song is, you know, maybe not specifically true to singular events, but overall, yeah, if you've been in this business for any number of years, you're going to relate to that song, because, you know, there is no such thing as an overnight success. It really, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, seemingly an overnight phenomenon will take years to get there. It's just, you don't hear about it, you know, you don't hear about it. And all of a sudden you hear about it. You know, Taylor Swift has taken years develop to where she is at. And I know, because I was there at Big Machine, and even before, when she was just a youngster. And there's a lot of work that went into that. And that's not an overnight success. That song just kind of, it's a fun, whimsical look at the music business. And it's kind of true. I mean, there is a man out in California that, you know, has got a sweet deal for me. I mean, that's, we've all been there. Yeah. And so there's a fun aspect to it, even though it is not specific to any one thing, but it is an overall truth.
Oh, without a doubt. And yeah, as I was listening through it, I was trying to find, oh, this is where they go from this to this and the overnight success. And it's not. You're really just talking about this is the life, I guess, this overnight success.
Yeah.
I think I accidentally quoted
That's
it
right.
there. Okay. You know what? And Baton Rouge or not, it still sounds better than, say, if you were in Sheboygan. That leads itself to a comedy.
There you go. Yeah. See, yeah. Some things are just obvious.
I feel like there's a famous John Prine song that I need to track down before I keep bringing it up as examples, but I feel like there's a song where he changes the brand of cigarettes that his father or uncle smoked, or because, you know, Salem was only two syllables, but he needed Parliament. Okay, so that one fits the song, so he changed it for that, or whatever
right,
it was. But,
there you go, yeah. He needed that extra beat on that syllable to
yeah.
make it work.
Stuck in Sheboygan again. Okay.
It's just part of the life, I guess, of an overnight success. Just an overnight success. So you think your wings are broken? No. All the friends you tried to lean on were bridges that got burned. Here's a lesson for the learning. You can fly away. You know I never stopped.
This is the last track on the disc, and I feel like it's a really nice way to wrap, too, but Turn Yourself Around. I have to ask, is this about an actual person or someone in the position of needing a change? And with that, I suppose, there's parts of it where I have to ask, is this a song with you talking to someone, or is this a song telling of what someone said to you? I am asking
right.
you as the songwriter.
Sure. Well, truth be told, this was a song that at the time a friend of mine was living with me, and he was in really bad shape. I mean, spiritually and physically, he was drinking a lot at the time. And him and his wife were separated, or they were fighting, and so he would come over. Anyways, he was an amazing piano player, musician, and he played with me for a while. His name is Robert Chevrier, and he had this song that he had been writing, and he played it for me. And, you know, it had good bones, like it had the makings of a song, but, you know, it still wasn't a song yet. It didn't have any sort of storyline, or it didn't quite make sense, right? Even though there were parts of it that were really good. So me and my friend Alan Miller, who's a great lyricist friend of mine, lives out in California. We got together with him and we took what he gave us and made sense of it. And turn this into this sort of pick yourself up by the bootstrap kind of song. So in a way, yes, it's me talking to him, but it's really him talking to his wife or whoever is listening to it, you know? And so there is that component of it. And honestly, I don't know what his status is. We've been trying to find him. He's a co-writer on this. And so we're going to put whatever earnings this song makes, we're going to put an account for him if he ever surfaces.
Oh, good.
And we've tried to find him. Yeah, so maybe he'll see this. He doesn't live in California, but I don't even know. I don't know where he lives. But the song has a merit to it, and it felt like it should be the last song on this record. And so obviously it became this indulgent sort of, you know, Beatles, Harry Nilsson, throw the kitchen sink at this thing. And, you know, we had never, for a band that really has fought really hard to not do anything too Beatly, you know, and stay away from the Beatles, this time around we're like, you know what, you know, we're going to do it. And we recorded that song at Blackbird Studios here in Nashville, which is,
oh, wow.
If you know Blackbird Studios, the owner is such a Beatles fan that literally there is every piece of gear that is in Abbey Road that they used is available to you there at Blackbird. The same pieces of gear, replicas, whatever. John is that much of a fan, John McBride, the owner. Anyways, we recorded it on that day, and it was Ringo's birthday, hence the sound and the drum roll. It's like if Ringo was, you know, so we just went all out. We're like, yeah, you know what? Well, we've never done a Beatles song. That hasn't been part of our thing. And it's so funny because a friend of mine was, you know, kind of giving me a, oh, look at that. It sounds like the Beatles. And I'm like, yeah, finally. Finally, I got a song that sounds like the Beatles. What do you got? You know? I'm turning it around on him. And I'm like, yeah, I finally have a song that sounds like the Beatles. Yeah, finally. And so, you know, we've been having fun with that. And it's just a fun song. And we're going to start playing it live. And we have some ideas for that as to how we're going to do it. And look forward to having the crowd singing it with us and whatnot. You know, we've never done anything like that. So we're looking forward to it.
Oh, without a doubt. Don't go looking for answers in the stars above. Only you can save yourself. That's just beautiful. And that's the only, you know, there are so many lines in that song that I could have seized on, but that was the one.
Yeah, that's the main point. That's yeah. The main point, really.
Truly.
You know? Yeah. I'm totally glad you pointed that out.
And this one, again, wraps this nicely and for good reason. And you stated that reason. I appreciate hearing about that because I would have asked because I need to know about sequencing. There's the Mavericks website. Do you guys have a social media presence as well?
Oh, yeah. Instagram. I've got my own Instagram. People can look us up. TheMavericksBand.com. And, you know, there's so many different iterations, but always look for the blue check, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we have Facebook, obviously, and I'm present on Facebook as well, and people can keep up to date with us.
I greatly appreciate your time on this. I've had a great, great time with it. I've heard more Mavericks in the last 3 days than I have in the last, well, since 1989 when you guys started coming around. So this was really cool. This is a treat for me, man.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for the time. And yeah, it was fun talking about this stuff.
For this edition of KVC Arts, it's been a rebroadcast of my conversation with Raul Malo of the Mavericks, originally broadcast on December 8th of 2024. Malo passed away December 8th of 2025. I greatly, greatly appreciated the conversation and the music spanning several decades. Thank you again, and rest in peace. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulong, Sandy Hodela, Adam Rainey Ruiz, Diego Munoz, and Sharina Wad. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Please, if you're not yet a listening, contributing member of this station, give any time at kvcrnews.org/support. And again, thank you so much.